from aboard Red Belly Radio Mobile Studio number 901. You're listening to Red Belly Radio. Well, hello and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heaser. Today I am on a top secret mission. Well, it's not top secret. There's probably 45 other people around here. But this mobile studio is also known as one of our aircraft. From time to time, I will podcast from the airplanes. This particular airplane is the first one in our fleet to have Wi-Fi. We're on a test flight. There's a handful of employees, various departments from either the SOS, the department that kind of helps out reservations agents and customer service agents at the airport when they have a problem with the customer. They have a bunch of people here, a few people here. So a few people from communications. There's a handful of people from the company that are that have installed this equipment on our aircraft. And there's some people from our technology department as well as purchasing. I mean, they're paying for it, so we let them aboard too. This first plane in our fleet is tail number WN901, and we are flying around the continental United States. We left out of Dallas, we went to out towards Louisiana, and we're going back. The idea is to test signal strength. The everybody on board has been able to connect fairly well. We've been it maxes out at 59. Simultaneous users, and of course with 35-40 people on board, and everybody had at least two things, like I had an iPhone and my computer, so we quickly ramped up to that 59 number. But a typical flight, the plane holds a maximum 137 people, so really 59 people will be probably more than adequate for most of our Southwest flights. I'm going to try to speak with some of the people who putting all this together, and let's see if I can't get a hold of one. So how's the test going, Doug?
Test is going well. Right now it looks like everybody's connected and enjoying a pretty good experience.
So what do we have, 59 or so simultaneous maximum?
We've got a limitation, 59 devices for personal use. We exceeded that, or we pushed that limit, so we did have some people that couldn't get connected.
I think a typical flight, 59 people with laptops that have Wi-Fi connectivity, that's almost half the plane.
Yes, that's correct, and we wouldn't necessarily expect that many people to connect. However, that 59 is kind of an arbitrary limit that was placed just particularly for this flight, so we needed to probably readdress that.
And so those kinds of things are what we'll be determining during this test coming up in the next few weeks.
Absolutely. The reason for the test is to prove out the technology and make sure that it works, make sure that we can offer a product to our customers that's consistent and provide some value. So that's the reason for the test.
Even on charter planes, we still have to have flight attendants on board. And I'm with Carmen from the in-flight training department. Carmen, have you been hearing from a lot of the flight attendants that our customers want this service?
You know what? Yes, I believe that a lot of our customers would want this service because, it's our in-flight entertainment and just busy travels and just a lot of different reasons as to why customers would be happy to have this. So I'm sure it's been asked out there several times.
Well, I managed to track down Angela from our marketing department. Angela, you have been working on this project for several years now?
Yeah, it's about 2.5, nearing 3 years that we've been really seriously trying to get this up and going.
Well, I'm sure from the minute Wi-Fi was invented and people could use it in their homes or companies or anything else, they wanted it on airplanes.
Yeah, right now, actually, aircraft is probably the only place that people are not connected.
I guess so. You can do it in the airport. The airport handles that part of it. A lot of people's homes, a lot of businesses, but you're right, airplanes.
Yep, it's the one unconnected place in the world, but it's about to change.
Now, we're, of course, on this flight, we're testing this with, the company that installed it. Who did that?
So we're working with a company called Road 44, and they are, you could kind of call them your general contractor. They're the ones that put this all together and pulled all the various pieces and parts and technologies together that's on the plane right now. There's been Wi-Fi in the air for quite a few years now, so Boeing tried it with connection, but it didn't end up being successful, and a lot of that was due to the equipment was super heavy, and it was very expensive to maintain. But 4 or 5 years later, so much has happened in technology that now it is much lighter and easier to install. So it makes a lot more economical sense.
Now, when this first launches, it'll just be a test system with one aircraft. On day one, it's only going to have one aircraft.
On day one, we will only have one aircraft, but the test is going to consist of 4 aircraft.
And how long does that test go?
The test is going to be about 6 to 8 weeks. During the testing period, we're going to be surveying customers a lot, asking them about their experience, seeing kind of what the take rates are, what are customers doing, what is the difference between the lengths of haul, short, medium, and long haul, and how are people using it on our heavy business routes versus our leisure. And then also asking them questions about what would you pay for it. And then, of course, also watching the technology itself to see how it performs and is it consistent and is the experience good. And then at the end of the test, we combine all that data together and we go back and we recommend.
So during this test period, there will not be any charging?
No, the customers will be able to access it for free during the test. But if we do move forward with it, it would be something we would charge for.
Now, is there any way a customer can say, I want to fly on one of those Wi-Fi enabled planes, like when they make the reservation?
Unfortunately, no. The way our aircraft are routed, we can't guarantee that a customer could ever be on one of the planes. We are hoping to contact those who are currently scheduled to be on board a Wi-Fi aircraft 24 hours in advance via email and give them the heads up so that they bring the equipment, a Wi-Fi enabled device.
So, there's no way a customer can request the plane, but how will they know if they are going to be flying on a Wi-Fi plane?
We will try to let customers know that they are scheduled to be on a Wi-Fi plane 24 hours in advance. But if the customer doesn't get the email or we can't notify them, then when they get on the aircraft, there's going to be placards on board that notify them that they are in a hotspot. And there will be a seatback card at each seat that gives them instructions on how to log in.
So when a passenger, they get on the airplane and we get above 10,000 feet in the air and you can turn on those computers and things, what do they see when they turn on a computer?
They will see the wireless network, so they'll be able to connect to it and then they'll be taken to a sign-in page. Once they finish the sign-in process, they will be taken to a really cool co-branded Southwest Airlines Yahoo portal page that includes a flight tracker that allows them to track the progress of their flight, among other things.
Cool. I didn't know that. So that wasn't operating today. I didn't.
No, you haven't been able to see it on the test today, but it should be up and running by the time we launch.
So when they're online and their internet browser, what they can just see the internet?
They can do pretty much anything that they would do at home or in the office. That includes checking email. Some companies have what's called a VPN or a virtual private network. They'd be able to access that. They can stream video. They can watch YouTube. They can go to Facebook. They can do pretty much anything. We did block VoIP or voice over IP, which will prevent people from talking. So you don't have to worry about your neighbor jabbering next to you. And, of course, we have a filter in place as well.
Okay, well, so Angela, how does this differ from what we're doing? How does it differ from what American and some of the other airlines are doing in their internet testing?
Southwest is actually, we're kind of groundbreaking. We are the first airline to test aircraft to satellite technology. So the other airlines, such as American, Virgin America, United, Continental, they are all trying air to ground. The difference between air to ground and aircraft to satellite is bandwidth.
Is everybody back connected again? Yeah.
So our solution has a lot more bandwidth, a lot more like an at-home experience.
Oftentimes when people work on projects for a long time, they say as though they felt as though they birthed a baby.
Yeah, I guess you could say this has been a 2.5 year.
What we're laughing at is that Angela is rather pregnant right now.
Yeah, and I am so glad we got this done before I had this baby.
Now, with Bill McNary of AeroSat, now Row 44 is the company that is really providing this, but they hired a company called AeroSat to do which part of this project?
Well, we take care of getting the signal on and off the aircraft. So to use the analogy of what you have at home, we get the signal to the little modem that you have in the house. And then the part for distributing it within the aircraft, that's taken care of by Row 44.
Now, I remember when satellite technology first came along, you had to have like a big 8-foot dish in your backyard. And then satellite TV came along, and it was like a, 15-inch dish on your chimney. And now There's no parabolic dish up there.
No, that's right. This is a very specialized antenna. It looks kind of like two loaves of bread, maybe two loaves of French bread. It's kind of low and wide, and it provides a very narrow signal to and from the satellite.
Now, this is if you're looking at the outside of the aircraft, there is a molded cover for this thing.
Yeah, that's called a radome, and that protects the antenna. So the antenna itself that stays pointed at the satellite is underneath that radome. So it's free to move around underneath there, and the radome protects it from the wind and the weather.
And that actually rotates around and keeps in constant contact with the satellite.
Right, because as the aircraft is moving, the antenna has to stay pointed precisely at the satellite through all phases of flight.
Now, you can't just go down to your Radio Shack and buy this stuff. So where did you get it?
That's right. Yeah, we developed it at AeroSat over about an 18-month period. And it used to be that you'd make an antenna and you'd try it out, and then you'd go back and modify it and try it again. This is a very complex antenna. We developed it over, about 18 months using very advanced computer simulation. And we ran those things round the clock in six-hour intervals for 18 months in order to get all the aspects of this antenna just right.
Now we're going to have – I'm going to put a picture on the with the blog associated with this podcast to show you a picture of this thing. And it's just sort of a bump. It's an aerodynamic bump.
That's right. When you see the bump on the outside of the plane, that means your service is going to be bumped up inside because you'll have internet connectivity.
Connectivity issues? Raise your hand.
Now, I thought I might speak briefly about the user experience on this Wi-Fi system. My iPhone, which of course is Wi-Fi enabled, but you have to put the iPhone into an airline mode, aircraft mode. You can't be taking phone calls. That has not changed. You still can't take phone calls. But the Wi-Fi mode, after I turned it on, I couldn't get it to recognize email. I couldn't get it to go to the App Store or the iTunes. And, of course, it was a classic PEBCAC, as we refer to it. Problem exists between keyboard and chair. Yes, I was doing something wrong. I didn't launch the web browser. You have to start out with the web browser and log in through that screen, which it finds automatically. And then all of a sudden everything opens up and can work. So once I've done that, I'm currently on my iPhone. I am uploading three different apps. In fact, I had to update those apps, and I've been holding off on it for a couple of days waiting for this opportunity. And so here it is, working just fine. As far as the computer, well, I'm speaking with Michael. You're also from AeroSat. And what can customers expect as a user experience from this? How fast of a connection are they going to be getting?
Well, there's a guaranteed minimum service that's provided by the service company, but it should be something someone can get at home at work, a nice, comfortable speed.
In fact, there are people in the back. I think they're just watching videos or YouTube. Certainly it'll stream media, like I just listened to Red Belly Radio, so I know it streams audio. I guess ultimately your dream is to see this just come off of the Boeing factory floor with this already installed.
Well, that's true, but more importantly, we want passengers to be able to have the same experience at home and at work as they do above on a plane, but above 10,000 feet.
Steven Ray Vaughan, Double Trouble, and with them...
Jimmy Vaughan from the Fabulous Thunderbird.
What's that? You're tired of surfing the internet and you just want to hear some music? Well, cruise on over to Pandora like I did, and I'm listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan. Now, of course, you'll need to use headphones on yours, but I have some speakers set up to demonstrate this for a few other people around me. I'm streaming audio right now from my iPhone on this aircraft. Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2009. The captain has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices. Yes, even if you're hooked to the Wi-Fi.